Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
That was just Edie or Eddie.
You call me Edie. My name's Justin. You can also just call me Justin.
Edie Sedgwick, Silver Bullets, kicking off the very happy post-Giants win day edition of Snacky Tunes. City's moving very slowly this morning, I would say. I think people went out last night. Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Terry Diabolik, a.k.a. Darren Bresnitz. DJ Never Forget, a.k.a. Greg Bresnitz. Flew out to LA this morning. He'll be back next week, but for now you just have me to deal with. Edie Sedgwick will be playing live in the second half of the show, but first up we have the two food notable noteworthy people from the Village Voice. We have restaurant critic Lauren Shockey and Robert Sitsema.
Very, very good.
So close.
That B plus.
And Robert, what's your title over at Village Voice?
Actually, I've never been given a title, but restaurant critic or just biggest fool will do well.
Oh. How would you feel if we got business cards that said that?
Delighted.
Well, they are here today to talk about what is arguably one of my favorite food events every year. It's the Choice Eats. They're not really awards, right? They're
just... I don't know what it is. Oh, go ahead, Lauren.
I would say it's a tasting event.
A tasting?
So basically, it's a buffet. You get to eat and drink as much as you want, and after you get a ticket.
Yeah, but it's like a buffet from heaven. It's not
it
Golden
is.
Corral.
Well, it's very impressive looking, if nothing else. It's like gigantic. It's in this old armory
Where
actually, you know, a very famous art show, the Armory Show, was held decades ago that introduced America to many of its most famous early 20th century artists. And so what you do when you get in there, you see all of these aisles, and there's all of these stalls with people cooking up a storm, and there's plenty of alcohol at the end of the hall, and it's really nicely arranged, and you basically run from place to place getting as many snacks as you can until you're about ready to throw up. And the food quality is extremely high.
It's really high. I think that's one of the most surprising things, is that everyone really brings their A game to it, and that it's you have to be selective,
you
would
do.
Say.
You also should wear elastic pants.
Yes. What's your game plan? Because I have my own game plan when I go there, but you can go first. What's your game plan?
My game plan is to get there early.
Yes.
And run to the places that I like the best, which shall remain unnamed at this moment. But it helps to do research. I mean, there's online all sorts mm-hmm. of lists of what places will be there. And the trick is to find the places that are less well-known, that are serving really interesting food. And the selections, which include over 50 restaurants, are normally a weird mixture of kind of ethnic spots from obscure parts of the city and kind of hipster chefs who are working in modern bodegas and stuff. And you know, whose stuff we have loved in print. And they do us the honor of coming back and serving their stuff to our readers.
Yes. What's your game plan?
My game plan is to go to some of the places that Robert has reviewed, because we choose the places.
Right.
So all the places he reviewed, I've actually never been to. So I think that,
and
that's
vice versa.
So I'll start off with that. And then basically just going to where there's a short line, because the lines can get kind of long by the end. So that's why you really want to go early.
They can. Now, what is the selection process? How do you take all the restaurants? Because you review more restaurants that can fit into each event. How do you whittle down the list? Do you look to people who didn't participate in years past, or do you sort of just go, what's the flavor of the month?
You know, first of all, we nominate the places that we have liked the very, very best. And that can include places that we just, like, passed by and ate a quick snack and wanted to eat more, and places that we gave full reviews to. But basically, we want the places that were really good from previous years to come back to, and which is almost all of them. And so we have some return visitors. We have places that are new. We have places that are brand new. You know, we nominate these places. We approach them, see if they're interested, and then they come back. And of course, we don't approach them personally because that would interfere with our impartiality as critics. Mm-hmm. We're both anonymous critics, and nobody knows what we look like. So we're going to have to kill all of you at the end of this show.
How do you keep your anonymity since you've been around for a while with the rise of the internet and a simple Google search?
Fake mustache, right?
Well, if you Google me on Google, you will find no usable pictures other than me dressed up in funny masks, and pretty much ditto with Shockey over there, too.
Not quite as much, unfortunately.
It's difficult, but it's something that I've been dedicated to since I started working, because I really don't want people to recognize me in restaurants. What a pain in the ass to go into a restaurant and have people, like, shower you with free food. I mean, maybe once in your lifetime, but, you know, I get paid to eat. People pay for what I'm eating, so I want to eat what I want to eat. Yeah. I don't want, you know, a bunch of crap, and I certainly don't want people kissing my ass or even worse, throwing things at me.
Well, I think the whole idea of sending free stuff out is really a pain after a while, especially if you're eating for a living. Mm-hmm. If you're going there with a certain idea of what you want to eat, and then by the time that comes out, if people have been giving you free courses, they've sort of missed the point of why you're there to review them in the first place.
I mean, it makes it harder, too, because you know then that they're putting their best face forward, but that's not going to be the face that they put on for everyone necessarily. So then when you're going to have to go back another time and basically scrap everything that you ate that time when you got free stuff. But even though I'm, like, not as anonymous, I feel I've never really been recognized in restaurants to my ability. But I have fake glasses. I have a wig.
Do you really?
I do. But I get awkward about wearing the wig. Well, it looks like a fake wig.
The sad fact of the matter is that most critics and blogger critics want to be recognized because they crave that kind of attention.
Yeah.
And it compromises their opinion completely. It makes what they're doing useless, aside from often very good prose.
Well, a lot of times the toughest thing about a job or doing music or anything or doing any sort of criticism is working in that void where no one really knows who you are if you want that praise. It's very easy to go out and get free stuff if you make yourself known as this important blogger, but it affects the quality of your work.
I think, too, like, down the road, you don't want to become known as that person who always accepts free stuff.
No.
I think in the end, that's just going to hurt your credibility.
I mean, there is one famous thing that comes to mind about someone's wedding that great guy, love him, but that's...
Oh, I love him, too.
You know, and that is a case of what happens if you get that reputation. But enough about that. Let's get back to Choice Eats. So one of the things that I love about Choice Eats is that it's not just about flavor, like hipster sort of food. It really comes down to you know, all these different ethnic foods. I mean, I've had Pakistani food, I've had Russian food, Brazilian, Cambodian, and I love it. I love that you can really get a flavor of the city.
Yeah, we've really kept that up, too. I mean, every year we have managed to score. And this is all thanks to the immigrants who are coming to New York and who want to have a taste of home here and set up these restaurants where they try to replicate exactly what they ate at home. But every year we've had, like, astonishing new cuisines that just the city has never seen before.
What's your what cuisine are you most excited about to bring to the people this year?
Well, I'm always excited in general about West African food because I love it. It's not well known. You know, even one of the things that gets me is a lot of times chefs who claim to be so kind of revolutionary, they don't know about the ingredients being served in ethnic restaurants. So, you know, we have, I just did a place from the Caucasus Mountains that kind of covered the food of Azerbaijan and Georgia and Chechnya and places like that. And there were just so many things that I didn't even recognize, like pickled fruits that any kind of Brooklyn chef who's into pickling should know about, but a lot of them don't. So Choice Eats is a way for us to introduce these cuisines to the city in a very kind of like nice, neutral atmosphere.
Yes, it really is. I don't feel there's any shill at this event. It really is a celebration of food and people and things like that. What do you look forward to this summer, or I mean, sorry, this March?
Well, one of my favorites from last year is, was Maima's Liberian restaurant, and they just had some really great, like, spicy pepper stew. So, and they're coming back.
I remember
again.
That stew. It was so spicy.
Yeah. It was very spicy.
It was.
They warned people, and you're like, oh, no, I can do spice.
Yes.
And
no.
Then you're like, oh, wow.
No, was it was really spicy. I remember going, whatever.
Yeah.
And then going, oh.
And then you're like, where's the free beer?
Where is the free beer? All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick musical break. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about the beer and the different events and the VIP stuff. And then I think we're actually going to give away two tickets to the event.
Oh, excellent.
Great.
And then we'll talk more about, you know, what's going on in New York City right now as far as the fun and fine dining scenes go. The track we got coming up is... what do I got coming up? Oh, yeah. We're going to play Toon Yard's track, Business, which I am a big fan of.
Love that band.
Yeah, she's great. Different type of music, great type of feel, coming at you on Snacky Tunes.
Get up, stand up, get up, stand up, get on it. Yes, I am no longer who you thought this one was. the way.
Awesome. Business, Tune Yards. What a jam.
Great.
What a jam. And she's amazing live. You can grab the mic back.
I've never seen her live.
She's great. A lot of colors, a lot of energy, a lot of action. So much fun. You know, just purely what you would imagine from that album.
How many musicians on stage?
A lot.
Yeah.
At least 6 or 7 or 8. A lot. There's a lot going on. It's very good. So we're here with Lauren and Robert from Village Voice, and we're talking about the Choice Eats Awards coming up on March 13th. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
From 6:30 to 9:30.
Which I am so upset. I thought it's usually later in the year. It's a little bit earlier this year, and I'm already going to be in Texas for South by Southwest. That being said, just because I can't go doesn't mean you shouldn't go. Now, one of my questions that I always think of when I'm at the event is, how much do you take into consideration the current dining trends in New York City and apply that to who you book and how you curate the event?
I don't think there's actually any consideration to what's trendy. It's all based on what's delicious, because Robert and I choose all the restaurants based purely upon like our experiences there. And, you know, who wants to eat food that's not delicious?
Although, to be the devil's advocate for a minute, there are a proportion of restaurants that we have recently stumbled on that are there, like Allswell.
That's true.
Which I loved in Williamsburg and was a really reasonably priced restaurant. That guy, he had been kind of bouncing around the restaurant firmament for a while and getting into scrapes with his various kind of employers. And when he opened that restaurant, I mean, I was there pretty quick, and he's actually going to come, mm-hmm. although I don't remember his name right off the bat.
Nate Smith.
Thank you so much. You are an encyclopedia of information.
I am indeed.
Anyway, he's wonderful, and he's going to be there too, along with all the other ethnic and non-ethnic restaurants. And I guess all restaurants are ethnic by definition.
I guess so, but there are some that are more more ethnic than others, I guess, yeah. Right?
Like anyway, we have like off-the-wall food, and we have national dishes from obscure nations, and we have comfort foods like Mama's in East Village has mm-hmm. been a participant a couple of years. They make great fried chicken.
I found the trick is to not eat too many crostinis or sliders or things like that right off the bat, because that bread, or if you get it, you just eat the filling.
It's true. Yeah. You don't want to fill up on carbs.
You do not. You do not. Speaking of carbs, you guys have a lot of great beer and a lot of great booze there. And can you talk about what drinks can be expected at the event?
Yes. So basically, we've got a big selection of beer. There's regular stuff like Hoegaarden and Leff, Stella Artois. But then also, you know, we have Blue Point, Six Point, all the points.
Yay, all the points.
So it's a good selection of sort of everyday stuff, as well as some smaller breweries and local stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at the end of the day, what do you think that people take away from Choice Eats? Like, what is the mission of this event?
Well, I think just to present at a reasonable price an amazing roster of food that will allow you to sample some things that you've had before, but especially to try things you've never had before in a kind of congenial context. It is a real event. I mean, everyone is kind of excited to be there, and you run into your friends, and, you know, and I value it just because I just stand there and talk to people that I've known for years and, you know, and occasionally try to crawl between the legs of people to try to get some plates of food and stuff. No, it's not really. There's always... It never takes that much trouble to get food there. I mean, even when there's lines, they go fast. Yeah. So,
I think the other thing, too, is a lot of the restaurants featured aren't necessarily in Manhattan. And some people may be sort of intimidated to take the subway to, like, further out neighborhoods, whereas now they're all in one single place. And it's sort of like going to all five boroughs, but, you know, in the course of 20 minutes.
And by the same token, we hope to urge Brooklynites to come to Manhattan for a painful 3 or 4 hours just to try some Manhattan-based...
As a Brooklynite who loves food, I think the trek in is not as intimidating as the trek out, I would say. And one of the things I've always loved about Choice Eats is that it's not just an event for indulgence, it's also an event for charity. And you're involved with Slow Foods, the Urban Harvesting Schools, the Urban Harvest Gardens. Can you talk a little bit about the charity work that the event does?
Well, I'll say a couple words first, and then Lauren can say a few words. We've been committed locavores for a long time and love to encourage, you know, urban farming and stuff like that. And so We didn't want to look like money grubbing assholes either. So, I mean, we want to give a portion of it away to charities that are food related that we relate to. And she doesn't have anything to say other than what I just said. So,
well, it's just great that you know, a lot of food events. I mean, I think that's really where you find a lot of popularity, like the South Beach stuff and all those events that can really give back and sort of shine a light on what's going on in the food world more than just some decadent indulgence of just, yeah, you know, like meats and beers and just, you know, not really painting the whole picture of what's going on in the food scene.
Our ulterior motive, even in starting the festival 5 years ago, was to create this kind of level playing field where people of all ethnicities and races and stuff could meet, you know, on a kind of neutral turf and get to know each other. I mean, one of the most pleasing things for me, and I've traveled several times to West Africa, and I love African food, and I've been an advocate for it. But to see the Africans themselves there cooking the food and meeting people that are more mainstream, you know, and other ethnicities too are happy to be there, and we're happy to have them and everyone. It's just like a big foodie love fest.
And I think the food also is a big focus. It's not one of those events where, you know, you have chefs doing book signings and it's all about the chef. It's very much about the food and celebrating the, like, pleasure of eating, really.
Yes. It's never feels like a very celebrity-driven
right,
event. It's really
for sure
a food-driven event. And finally, let's talk about the official Foursquare badge that you have. So it seems that you've partnered up with Foursquare, mm-hmm, and you go to 3 restaurants that are participating towards,
yeah,
events,
and then you get a nice little badge. It's like a chef with a mustache.
It's very cute. It reminds me of this Muppet Chef.
Yes, the Swedish Chef.
Swedish Chef.
Right? Mm-hmm.
That, I assume that's the inspiration.
Foursquare also is right upstairs from us in the same building on Cooper Square.
Oh.
And I've known Dennis and the crew there for a long, long time, and I knew it when it was just like 3 guys in underpants sitting around a table, and now it's like an empire.
Empire.
Yeah.
Empire. Well, hopefully Choice Eats will build itself into its own empire. Just much like the Village.
Well, I hope to be sitting around in my underpants in some kind of startup.
Yeah, it's funny. When you're not doing well, you sit around in your underpants, and then when you have to go build yourself, you put pants on, and then, yeah, when you get to the top, you can go back to sitting in underpants.
Yeah, we're all sitting in our underpants right now, yes, of course.
That's true.
Yes.
The beauty of radio.
The beauty of radio. Well, thank you two for coming on.
Thank you so much for having us.
ChoiceEats.villagevoice.com for tickets. Tickets are still available.
VIP tickets are sold out, but we still have regular admission.
People, you blew it. You blew it. And you can just hit us up at, just tweet at Heritage Radio Network, HRN updates, for to win 2 VIP tickets. Yeah?
That works? It's at Heritage _ radio now.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go. So, yeah. So, tweet at them. First one, I don't know, tell us what band Robert used to be in.
Mafungo.
Well, all right, fine. So, tweet.
Oh, I already, sorry. Yeah. It's like a Saturday Night Live skit. Should I think of one?
No, we got it.
Okay.
That just proves that they're listening. So if you can tweet us what band Robber's in, here's a hint. Pause. Rewind 30 seconds. You'll get 2 tickets, and it'll be a lot of fun. Thank you two so much for coming on.
Thanks.
Stick around.
Us.
Enjoy the pizza. We're getting ready for Edie Sedgwick to come up. But first, we're going to take a little bit of a musical interlude. And while we all eat and regroup for the second half of the show, here we go. Neon Indian and a young Jeezy Sammy Bananas bootleg on Snacky Tunes.
The following program was sponsored by S. Wallace Edwards and Sons. Summertime is not the only time when barbecue is welcome. At S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, Sam Edwards has been working his magic on ribs, briskets, pit-cooked pulled pork, and much, much more. Add a few of their sides and the party is complete. Entertaining has never been so easy. To order, go to virginiatraditions.com. You are to remember.
All right. Sammy Banana's bootleg of Young Jeezy, I Do. And before that, Neon Indian, Polish Girl. Two great songs. Heavy rotation this winter. We are joined by the DC bass band, Edie Sedgwick. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hello. Hello. You guys? Can you guys talk over there?
Carla, a little mic show?
Hey, what's
hello?
Up? No.
Why don't we go around the room, introduce ourselves, say who you are and what you do.
My name's Justin. I sing and play guitar in Edie Sedgwick. And I'm an admirer of the finer things in life. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I'm Kristen, and I'm playing bass.
I'm Carla, a.k.a. Josephine Wells. I'm on the vocals.
Beautiful. Welcome. And there's a fourth member, but we can...
Yeah.
We couldn't have drums.
No drums in here. The pizza would be in the way.
Yeah, the pizza would be in the way. But we have a drum machine standing in for us. Shout out your drummer.
We do.
Who's the drummer?
Oh, Jess. Jess Matthews.
Jess.
She's not with us.
What's up?
She's at work.
So, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us.
All the way up from D.C. So, you guys have been around for a while.
We've been around for a long time.
99.
Forms. Yeah.
Late 90s band.
Yeah, we're from the ancient world. We're demons of the ancient world.
When they were still an underground.
Yeah. But now the underground seems to be above ground, so.
Yeah, there's no underground anymore.
I think we're still underground. I feel pretty, you know, dirty.
Yeah?
Moist.
I mean, you are on you're on Discord, who are like, legends of the underground.
We are on Discord Records, Washington, D.C.
How did that happen? Give me the history. Before we get to Discord, because there's a history before that.
Well, I was born. You know, there were some early formative years. I moved to D.C. in the late 90s when people still did that to play music. And just knew bands that were on the label and just knew the people that run the label and bothered them. And eventually they let us be on the label. So that's pretty much, there's no real mystery.
Oh, it's just that easy? You go, hey, Ian.
No, you gotta, you know, you have to
probably, holler at a boy.
You give him a tape and then you wait 6 months, then you bother him about it. Then he asked for it. At that time, he was like, I can't listen to this in tape form. You have to burn a CD. So we were like, at that time, we were like,
burn a CD? What?
How do we don't have CD burners. How does that work? So we had to find someone who had a CD burner.
I can't believe he would lay that down.
Yeah. I mean, he just was like, you know, that's the way he rolls. You know, sometimes he wants a CD.
You know what? Ian rolls how he wants to roll.
Yeah, for sure.
So you gave him a burned CD.
I gave him a burned CD, and then eventually he put out my record. He put out some of my other bands that I've been in, and you know, it's then 12 years went by, and here I am at Snacky Tunes looking at a pizza that Ian won't eat.
He won't eat?
No, he's vegan.
Are you vegan too, though?
I am vegan myself.
So you're not going to eat that pizza?
I'm not going to eat that pizza, but I've been, I had a daughter about 18 months ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very
What's
much.
What's her name?
Her name's Izzy, Isadora.
Nice.
Hi, Izzy. She's not listening. So it's like, it's tough because like if you make her, she's not vegan, so it's like if you make her a quesadilla and then she eats like a third of it, you can't be like, Izzy, I morally object to you leaving this remainder, you know, the remaining two-thirds of this quesadilla uneaten. And I'm not going to eat it, so you have to eat it. So it's just sort of like, well, either the dog eats it or I eat it.
Don't give her a complex.
I know. I want to avoid all those, like, eating disorders. I just want to skip those eating disorders.
My grandmother wouldn't let me. I'd be full. She's like, you drink that milk out of your bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Because why? Because of the starving children? Or what was the rationale?
World War II Holocaust things.
Let's
not get deep,
so
but yes.
It's a Jewish thing. Yeah, no, I've experienced that a little bit.
Yeah, so it happens.
A little bit, yeah.
But so that's interesting, having a daughter, not, you know, not importing your food morals on her.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, because it's just, sometimes it's just not a lot to eat for vegans. Like, you know, we don't live in a vegan world, at least not yet. And our city is not
yet.
Not yet. Tomorrow, our city's not particularly
when the vegans rise
vegan
up
friendly.
With their silken tofu.
I'm ready for it. I got, you know, some tempeh in the car. I'm ready to throw.
Make tempeh, not bombs.
Tempeh.
Or I guess make bombs out of tempeh, right?
Yeah, a tempeh Molotov cocktail or a Molotov tempeh cocktail or something. Anyway, it's going to be dangerous and it's going to be soy based.
Oh man,
flying at your head.
Kombucha bombs.
Oh god. Do you like kombucha? How do you feel?
No,
about it?
I don't. I mean, I've tried. There was one. I got down with one raspberry flavor once.
Like once or like for 6 months?
No, literally. I was hungover and someone's like, try it. And I was like, all right, I can hawk it down.
Did it cure your hangover or was
it?
This,
no, it did. It did. But I was like, the whole experience, you know, I got it. First off, I opened it, got everywhere.
Yeah.
No matter how slowly I opened it, got everywhere. And I was like, this is fine. I just couldn't buy into it. I felt like it was being really marketed to me.
I have trouble with it myself because like, the first time I drank it, I was like, oh, this is a really great salad dressing. And then I was like, oh, this is supposed to be refreshing. I just can't do it.
The whole culture around it too.
Yeah, it's really tough to take. And then I had a previous backup singer, Carla. This is before you were around. Used to drink two a day on tour, and she spilled it in the car, and it's just like,
yeah, it's
really
a mess.
That's really bad.
You know, I hate to say that it sort of does represent those sort of food morals where it's messy and it's gross and it gets in everyone else's business.
Yeah, yeah, it's in your face.
It's in your face. It's in your face, and it's just like, you know. Yeah, I don't drink a milkshake and throw it all over the van.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And also, is it vegan? I mean, there are active living cultures in the kombucha.
Does life begin at conception? Is that where we really want to go in this discussion?
I don't want to litigate that.
Yeah.
Leave that to Scalia.
Let's leave it to Scalia. Let's get into a song. How about that?
Okay, yeah. This song we were excited to play because it's about a different kind of food that's for vampires. The song's about vampires, and it's about the vampires that suck blood, that are not vegan, or maybe whatever the word is for if you just eat human-based products.
Yeah,
that's what they're about. The song's called Who's That Knocking at My Door? Is that okay for you?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to start? Let's go. Oh, hey. Oh, play the keys, girl. I want to hear the keys. All right, here we go. You got to breathe, man. You got to inhale. You got to exhale. Yo, who's that knocking at my door? Must be the man who flashed his fangs before.
You mean the man who likes you bleeding?
I mean the man who isn't breathing. Who's that knocking at my door? Put on your turtleneck and bolt the door.
I mean the man whose flesh is freezing.
I mean the man whose heart ain't beating, but his lion's bringing me down. Some holy water's bringing him
down.
And his science bringing me
down.
So the stake is bringing him down.
And
his lion's bringing me down. You. You got to breathe, man. You got to inhale. You got to exhale. Yo, who's that sleeping in my bed? Must be the man who leaves the sheets stay red.
The man for whom you're fading.
I mean the man who can't be saved. Who's that sleeping in my bed? Must be the man that I just left for dead.
The man that God created.
I mean the man demons invaded. But his lion's bringing me down. So holy water's bringing him down. His science bringing me down. So the snake is bringing him down. And his lion's bringing me down. So the cross is bringing him down. But his dying's bringing me down. How do you kill the thing that loves you? I stay away. Because away, that's the only safe place to stay. I run away. Because away, that's the place where you run. Run, run, run away. This is the outro of this musical number, Snacky Tunes, February 2012. Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door?
Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door?
Thanks.
That knocking at your door?
I don't know. I think it's a man in a cape with some fangs, some blood dripping from the fangs, and a big appetite. Can I just say it's weird to perform music in front of food critics.
It's been
because you guys are just sitting here, and I'm like,
do you feel like you're being judged?
Well, I'm not cooking, so I guess not. But then it's like when they were talking, I was like, maybe they thought I was judging them about their quality of food.
You're in a judgment-free zone.
It was so much fun to be in the middle of a band that was playing at like a non-ear-splitting volume.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, well, totally enjoyable and perfectly executed number.
We try to keep it on ear splitting.
It's a beautiful way to ease into the week, this show.
Yeah, as I stretch. I feel that way.
It's, you know, it's all softballs on T-ball stands in this
right.
shipping
and
container.
And
lobbed pitches.
So yeah. Lobbed. Well, except for some charity event stuff, which sorry about that. So, during your varied career as the band, you used to perform as Edie Sedgwick.
I did perform as Edie Sedgwick.
In drag.
I did.
In the early-mid-2000s?
Early-mid-2000s, yes.
How did that come about?
Okay, so I started a band with another guy, and it was just I played bass and he played drums. And then I got diagnosed with epilepsy, which was tough. And so I couldn't drive for a while. And he couldn't drive either because he had no driver's license.
Such a classic DC
right. So
band
we
story.
Couldn't tour. We couldn't do anything at all. So while I was sort of like, you know, learning to live with epilepsy and, you know, taking the pills that I need to take to like not have seizures, you know, every day, I started to make music in my bedroom, sort of alone on my computer. So this was a time when I think a lot of people, many of them in the city, were sort of doing the same thing. But I'd seen a lot of electronic-based bands, and, you know, they're just so boring to watch on stage. Bands with iPods, even like, sometimes famous, like, hip-hop groups that I loved growing up, I would see them live, and they would just be terrible. Like, their stuff would break, the mix would be bad. So I knew that I could only really do, like, an iPod-based project, but I wanted to mix it up, so I started doing drag, and I made all these films and would have like projections, and it was sort of like it was more like cabaret than like punk. I'm from a punk background, but I just needed to move forward musically, so that's what I did. I did it for about 5 or 6 years, and then I got tired of putting on stockings and I'm sorry, my instinct was just to look at the women in the room. It's like, you know what it's like when you put on stockings in like a dive bar and there's really beer on the floor and vomit. So I got sick of all that and changing in cars. So I changed it. But it was really a growing experience for me. It was a lot of fun. Touring alone with an iPod.
Did it get lonely?
It got lonely, but not as lonely as it gets when you're on tour with 5 people and hate 4 of them. So it can go either way, and you get to keep all the money too, and get all the glory,
all the glory. All the fame,
yeah,
all the hate.
You get the hate, but you know you get the love too.
So were you doing? Were you still cultivating a band? When did the band come about? When did the 4-piece come about?
So I did that for a couple years and did some European tours and did some solo touring, like, you know, driving across the country alone. Which was cool, but then you get tired.
Oh, wait,
of
so
it.
When did you get to start driving again?
It took a couple years to, you know, for the chemists to come up with the right, you know, like in Harry Potter when you go in that room with all the bubbling potions. They had to go in that room and bring some medicine out, so they did, and everything's cool now. I actually haven't had a seizure in 2 or 3 years.
Nice.
So, I guess it was like 2008 or 2009. I just wanted to, you know, it's like if you have a drummer, like a drummer is just such a powerful.
Yeah. That whole the whole rhythm section.
Right. It's like, you know, it's like we're going to like, if you have an iPod or you're just solo, you're sort of dependent upon like the sound man or dependent upon the audience like really being into it or whatever. But if you have a drummer, it's like the drummer's going to play these like primitive, loud things that make incredibly loud, and everyone has to sort of look at them. And it's sort of like this like musical fascism that I wanted that back. Like I wanted that fascist element back in my music where people like they couldn't look away, they couldn't like turn me down, like they had to like focus on me. So I started playing with a drummer and a bass player again, and you know, got back into the game as
well. You know, when I first heard Discord, I was expecting a different type of sound, it's definitely much more dancey, groovy, funky.
We try to keep it funky. Keep it a little bit different.
It's danceable.
It's totally danceable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're not like we wield guitars, but we're not really trying to like, you know, wield guitars.
The Bee Gees
like,
wielded guitars.
Yeah, they wielded beards and ironed hair. Do you think they ironed their hair? They had to, right?
They had to. If
that
it was
main
a
guy, what are those guys' names? I don't know their names.
The Gibbs.
Right. didn't one die, and that was like a tragic thing, and they wrote a song about it, and it was a hit.
They said
and that got
they
sampled
ESP
by Jeezy or something.
It was the younger Disco brother that died.
Oh, wait, which?
The younger Gibbs brother that was not in the Bee Gees was the one that died.
Did he die of, like, you know, rhythm and blues? Or did he, was it like a, that was that a bad joke? He probably died of cancer or something. Did he die of cancer or what? You know, like,
I don't know.
What's that guy's problem?
Yeah, what's that guy's problem? He's trying to get this Wikipedia. All right, before that gets a little too morbid, let's play another song.
All right, we're going to play another song. This is a new one. You got to play those keys, girl. All
right.
Okay.
This
song's for Bo Diddley. Ready? Why don't you start? I'm not gonna play.
You were just my size. Go! Hey! I saw you on the corner just the other day.
It wasn't me, man.
I saw you on the corner, you were passing my way.
It wasn't me, man.
I saw you on the corner, mesmerized.
It wasn't me, man.
I saw you on the corner, you were just my size.
It wasn't me, man.
I saw you on the corner, R and the A.
It wasn't me, man.
And you sing it when you're in my way.
It wasn't me, man.
I saw you on the corner, cough to rise.
It wasn't me, man.
I saw you on the corner. Let's go, hey.
And oh my god, here comes the monster, man, they be strictly sickly. Other girls that be on the corner, man, they be strictly dippy. And oh my god, here comes the monster, man, they be strictly sickly. Other girls that be on the corner, man, they be strictly dippy. And oh my god, here comes the monster, man, they be strictly sickly. Other girls that be on the corner, man, they be strictly dickly. Then oh my god, here comes the monster, man, they be strictly sickly.
The end.
Awesome. So funky.
We try to, you know, incorporate elements of African American musical styles into our punk aesthetic.
Yeah.
And that makes, like, dance punk.
You forgot about Motley, apparently.
Dance punk.
I have long believed that success is found in the juxtaposition of two different genres of anything.
Right, I know. What would white people do without other people's music to co-opt and repackage and sell to, you know, the citizens of Brooklyn?
Probably listen to harpsichord still.
I know. Do you want to listen to Bach? I don't want to listen to Bach
anymore.
I don't
know. What about Bach Turner?
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Yeah.
I'll listen to BTO. And I'll wear a BTO shirt.
Will you?
And wear my mullet around. And an ironic mustache.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I don't actually. See, Carla, I don't have any hair. Carla just revealed the secret. So
no,
I can't even have a mullet.
He means the fish called mullet.
I could have a Paul Schaefer mullet.
You have a Paul Schaefer mullet?
Yeah, but that's for Paul Schaefer. But he doesn't even have that anymore.
He's just Canadian.
All right, Phil Collins. All right, he is Canadian.
He's Canadian. You get a pass on the mullet of any length when you're Canadian.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough to face your baldness on the radio, no less, and talk about it.
As far as I'm concerned, to all of us out there, you have the most luxurious, Bee Gees Gibb
Did
hair.
I ever tell you about my ironed locks? They're just still sprouting in my 34th year. You know, they're under glorious. The floor.
We've turned all the lights out because your hair is just so illuminating.
I know, it's like a shining gift from the gods, from Norse gods, yeah. Not Roman gods.
No,
Christ,
Norse
gods.
I love the headband too.
I know, and
descended
the
rose
sparkling sequin headband.
Right. When you need a new string on your guitar, you just pluck a hair.
Right, there you go. Right. That's I can't top that.
No,
I can't top that in this banter. That's like the best ends. That's the best thing I've heard in yeah. a long time.
So what the plans have for you? How are you guys digging on the DC scene? What's coming? Can't wait for the cherry blossoms to sprout. It's my favorite time of DC.
Oh right, that one day. There's 3 days.
Who cares?
You gotta be there on that one day.
Look, I'm never gonna make it to Tokyo, so I'm just gonna make it down to DC.
Oh man, you just broke my heart a little bit. Why can't you go to Tokyo?
Maybe one day. It's easy for me to get on to you know, drive down 95.
That is true. That is true. Oh, karate.
Yeah.
There you just referenced
Yeah.
I guess karate's not from DC.
They're from Boston.
Oh, right. Did you spend time in Boston?
I did. I spent time in Boston. But I liked them before. I had a good friend, Sean McGinnis, who used to spend time in DC.
Sean McGinnis.
You know Sean McGinnis?
He's expecting a child. Is that the one?
Yes. We can talk about that later.
Okay. All right. Sean, we hope it works out.
Sean, we hope it works out. But Sean was really the guy growing up. He was a year older than me, and he was the one who got me into everything. He was like...
Wait, are you from Philly then?
Yeah.
You know Sean McGinnis? Where are you from? Because I'm from Philly.
I'm from Bala Cynwyd.
I'm from Cheltenham.
We'll talk afterwards.
We'll have to talk afterwards.
We'll talk afterwards.
Yeah, Sean McGinnis.
What's your favorite cheese? Oh, you don't eat cheese sticks.
Right? I used to.
What was your favorite?
You know, I didn't like... I don't like Pat's and I don't like Jim's. Is it that's
Pat's and Geno's. No one likes
right.
them. Taurus.
I don't understand the idea of putting Cheese Whiz... on a cheese stick.
Oh, that's
weird to me.
The original one had provolone.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's cheap.
I see, but why would you go to all the way to Philadelphia and then go to Geno's or Pat's and get
Taurus. Cheese
That's really weird to me because we always put provolone or even mozzarella.
I know you hate fake meat and cheese, Justin, but at this place called the Blackbird in Philly now they have awesome vegan cheese steaks.
Yeah, also Gianda's has vegan...
Gianda's, so that's the place
it
with the vegan cannoli, right?
Now it's called...
Now it's the Blackbird.
It's a gut buster. It's a giant boat of bread filled with vegan meat and cheese.
It is not giant anymore.
It's not?
No.
Times have changed.
I don't want to cast aspersions, but I heard that Gianna's / the Blackbird, if that's the name of it now, wasn't actually vegan.
Yeah, no.
Like
there
that
was
Seinfeld
controversy.
Episode.
Really?
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
You know, I'm gonna say this.
But the Blackbird is straight up.
As a man who eats a lot of you know, meat and dairy products, I remember eating and being like, this tastes a little too good for what they're marketing.
Right, right.
But who am I? You know, I couldn't tell what it was.
I don't know. You're a gourmand. You have a developed palate, right? I mean, you could probably
you know, I couldn't.
It was,
you know, you put enough ketchup on those things, and you're like, well, you know, it's
You put ketchup on cheese sticks?
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Am I alone?
Mayonnaise,
I think
right?
it's like...
No?
It's
go
like,
around the room. No?
Mayonnaise.
See, and I put mayonnaise on my smoked meat sandwiches.
The whiz is the ketchup. I mean, that's the lubricant.
Like no, but I like that extra umami. I like that extra thing that Heinz is bringing.
Nice.
Call me crazy.
I think no, it's good stuff. Was like the cheese wasn't really vegan. It had like casein in it. Or
that's
something.
But see, if you're
like
in that world,
ridiculous.
That's like if you're in that no. world, you're like, oh, you know, these kids are, you know, they're just a little underage. Like they're like, you know, 7.
No, I. But the thing is though, their whole, but their whole backbone on that was. Anybody who went to Philly, if you were like a touring band or whatever, and you were vegan, you're like, oh, you got to go here. That was, that. I mean, there's no other reason to go there because the rest of their stuff was not good.
Yeah,
you can still do that. The Blackbird. That shit is awesome.
What about DC? What's the DC vegan scene like?
There's a place called Sticky Fingers, which is pretty near my house, which is sort of a renowned bakery and has been on reality shows and stuff.
Reality shows?
They were on Cupcake Wars. Right. And they won,
good for
which
them.
Was like a good moment. Oh, they won 2 years in a row, right? So that's cool. But that's just like sugar fanaticism.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really like, need you. Cupcakes can be vegan, right? If you don't use butter.
No.
The food critics just were like, they like their eyes went dead. It's like
no. We are support any diet that you have is perfectly fine. How do you stand on the honey controversy? Do you eat honey?
I didn't eat honey for many years, but I kind of
you backslid into honey eating.
Yeah,
that's the next thing you know, you're gonna be chewing on bacon.
I know. I know. And not then I got a dog, and I feed the dog. You know, I'm not. The dog's not vegan.
Well, that's, I mean, it's the same thing. I'm not saying your daughter is like your dog, but it's the same thing where, like,
you don't have to feed a dog meat. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying?
No,
you, do you dare take that position?
You know, I tried to feed my dog salmon, and it messed him up real bad.
Like stomach problems.
Well, I was cleaning up a lot of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's, hey, we're talking about, these are real issues.
I know some vegan
punks.
This
is fascinating.
I know some vegan punks that have vegan dogs, and they're all like, yeah, my dog's vegan. We get this really expensive food. But then they're also like, you go to their house and it smells like garlic, and they cook with too much garlic, and they use chickpeas in ways that are like unnatural. And so you're like, do I really want to trust you, person who, you know, has bed bugs? Like, you know,
it's so funny where to draw lines. I mean, that's always been the toughest thing about, because I grew up in the basement scene in Philadelphia. And things like that. And it was always, I always hit a wall that I knew I was never going to be a punk through and through, because I was just like, these are, like, I'm living by these rules. I'm not living my life.
Right. Right.
Which is tough.
It's tough. And there's a lot of stews involved. Someone's always making a stew or a curry. You're like,
awesome.
Dude, this isn't like.
Man, I tried in high school to be vegetarian, and then I was like, well, I'll just eat chicken. I mean, I went a few, like, 4 or 5 years without eating red meat. And then I had a hamburger, and I was like, you know, what the hell am I doing?
This is kind of a leap of faith here, but what's your stance on food not bombs?
Oh, God.
Not the movement, but the cuisine.
Oh, well, I mean, I know the more people that I know who've tried it have been sick than not.
See, that breaks my heart, because, like, I know these people that would do food not bombs stuff in D.C., and they'd, like...
Can you explain what food not bombs is?
Food not bombs is a nonprofit organization that I don't know where it's based, but basically their whole thing is,
everywhere.
Like...
Yeah.
They're, like... Food, not bombs, right? I mean, that's pretty much says it all, right? So they do homeless outreach, and they would cook, you know, for homeless people.
They
and
take food that would otherwise be thrown away and cook with it.
Oh, freegans.
See, I've been on that train, too, but that's another, that, you know, dumpster diving and, yeah.
Okay, this is what I have to say about dumpster diving. And I did, because I did some reporting on it.
Right.
For those who don't know, dumpster diving are people who go to dumpsters and take food and things like that is being thrown away. Right. Now, when it's at the supermarket and like a bakery and all that stuff, totally understand and get behind it, you know, because there is stuff that's just getting thrown out. When you're going to like the Midtown Chipotle and pulling a half-eaten burrito out of the trash can,
that's a bad scene.
Then for me, it's like, it's like, all right.
What's your purpose? So it's like TJ Maxx.
We've never talked about dumpster diving before, as long as we've known each other.
But if you get it from John's or something, that's like the TJ Maxx version or Marshall's version. Because, you know, Marshall sells irregular sizes and stuff like that. That's how you get the discount.
So it might have some ants on it.
Yeah, maybe.
No, but especially, I mean, especially though in the winter. I mean, there's stories that, because I remember when I did the piece, we talked to a garbage man. And he was like, I mean, there's stuff that just... It gets loaded into the store and then loaded right into the trash because they don't feel like restocking and there's no need to.
Yeah, okay.
So I totally understand. And, you know, during the winter, it's outside's a giant fridge anyway.
Well, yeah, the sad thing is especially the fruit that, you know, if it has a little blemish on it, Mr. Consumer won't buy it.
With Food Not Bombs, it was a lot of that. Like, I'm not saying that Food Not Bombs people, I mean, I don't know if they do, it's different in every city. It's like, they don't just go dumpster dive, but they'll be like, hey, can we have this produce that you're going to throw away that has, like, some spots on it, and then they cut it out. And
but then when they present it to the homeless community... For lack of a better
word. Or
whoever. I remember they would have like a vegetarian option and a non-vegetarian option. And then all the homeless people would just eat the non-vegetarian option. So you're sort of like trying to like spread the word about this positive thing, but people aren't really accepting of it.
I didn't know that they had... All my experience with Food Not Bombs has been all vegetarian.
Yeah, me too. That's
maybe I'm thinking of a situation that was Food Not Bombs and then a competing... similar
or just someone they
presented.
Were working with. Food Not Bombs is generally
Food Not Bombs is generally, as I like to remember it, vegetarian glop.
Yeah.
Right, the glop. That's
stew.
I'm talking about that
and
glop.
Fine.
Stew and stale bread.
Delicious stew and stale
it's dark. It's dark that punk hasn't produced better food.
Dude, no,
my generation.
There,
I mean, there you can get some punk aesthetics and like butchering and things like that, but the punk DIY scene is not known for its.
We had killer Food Not Bombs in Austin when I was cooking Food Not Bombs. We made stuff.
I don't believe it, but it wasn't.
We made.
There wasn't.
You had movements that just weren't bowel.
Tell me there wasn't an undercooked chickpea in any dish you ever served. I don't believe it.
An undercooked chickpea. You know what? I don't remember or ever cooking with chickpeas.
Garlicky
at that
curry
food
with
that right there. I don't believe for a fact that you were in Food Not Bombs with no chickpeas.
Wait, now are you a garlicophobe? You like garlic?
Really good produce and fruit and tofu hookups, huh?
Garlic.
I was asking if he was a garlicophobe since you've mentioned.
You know, my baby mama is a yoga teacher and went through a cleanse recently, and we stopped eating garlic and onions. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, I don't miss it. It's just too overwhelming. Like, and maybe now that we've taken a break from it, we can go back with just like a little bit, yeah, or like half an onion, where we used to use a whole onion, stuff like that. But mm-hmm, it's so overwhelming. It's like the hair metal of like spices, well, or something.
The Jains, wow, in India won't eat onions and garlic because it would kill an insect.
Yeah,
anything,
yeah,
that might have insects in it, they don't want to kill anything. So, but they have substitutes like that crazy spice asafoetida.
Asafoetida.
Yeah.
Asafoetida is fantastic.
Emphasis on the ass.
It sounds
like.
It sounds expensive.
But it's also known as hing. Hing,
yeah.
It's great. It has that umami thing going as well.
Yeah, it's good. Use it as a substitute for for onions and other allium.
Investigate that at Whole Foods or
an Indian ethnic store.
Any Indian ethnic store,
yeah. Really?
Calusians probably has it.
Yeah, absolutely.
DC sometimes doesn't have that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, my friend Gail was looking for it to cook with, and she couldn't find it.
You know what? They have this thing called the internet where everything's available.
Yeah, I heard about that. Just new thing. Get on that.
Speaking of the internet, if people want to find you, where could they find you?
www.edsedgwick.biz. EDIE Sedgwick, SEDGWIC.
And what's your
biz?
What's your Googleability with a name like Edie Sedgwick?
I come up on the first page of Google. If you Google Edie Sedgwick, a lot of it'll be about the famous Warhol superstar.
Who?
But then like but then the ninth or tenth entry will be about me. It's sort of like I sort of Google bombed Edie Sedgwick.
But if you do by doing this project, Sedgwick, it'll be you.
No, that definitely won't come up as me. No. You can also just go to the Discord website.
Go to Discord. You're going to be there anyway, looking at 800 Fugazi shows.
I know, right? There you go. They just put all those up.
Yeah.
Because we needed to hear those again.
Yeah.
I went back and looked, and I was like, I'm not 19 anymore, or 14, so I don't really care about bootlegs.
Right.
But I was like, I remember being at that show.
Yeah, yeah. It was disappointing. I went to the... I was like, okay, I figured out the one that was my first show.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. It was like unavailable.
It's unavailable.
Like,
they're not there yet. They're getting there.
Yeah, but I heard that's what I heard. That
they'll get there.
Like, just wait.
Well, I want to thank everybody for being on the show today. Shout out to Rosemary and everyone at Village Voice. They're
thanks
listening.
Good
now.
Criticism. Thanks. Good food criticism.
And Jack, do we have a winner?
We don't. We
all
don't.
Right.
It's going to have to come from the podcast.
Come from the podcast. Just get at us.
You know, there should be an extra question now, though.
Damn it.
No, fine. Give us a vegan recipe that's not chickpeas.
There you go.
Get
chickpeas out of there.
And look for the new Edie Sedgwick t-shirt. My baby mama's a yoga teacher.
Yeah, my baby mama's a yoga teacher. It's true. And a health coach.
They'll be in Discord coming up, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's number 176. Discord 176.
So funny. All right, so take us out. What's the last song you're taking?
This song's called Silver Bullets. We have a video of it. And this is a very different acoustic version. So,
all right, well, here we go. Edie Sedgwick on Snacky Tunes. Next week, it's All Food with Jordana Rothman from Time Out. Thanks for listening.
I'll be there. Let's go. Hey.
No, no.
Can't he be killed by latter-day man?
No, no.
Can't he be killed by wooden stakes, man?
No, no.
Can't he be killed by ring of fire?
No, no.
Can't he be killed by silver bullets? Bullets, 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 bullets.
again. Here come the rain. Here come the rain again. Here come the rain again. Here come the rain. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain.
B plus. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.